Unequivocal Sex in Bite by Miss Begonia. It's really hard to look as cute as Jensen does every morning. He wishes more people appreciated this fact. Tom kind of appreciates it, because he works almost as hard to look almost as cute. But Tom's not as committed as Jensen is. Tom has Mike, and they're basically married, so... They fight all the time, like a bunch of infants, but still, Tom doesn't have to work as hard. It's one of the bonuses of being in a long-lasting relationship. Apparently, when someone likes you enough to actually date you for longer than one night, you get to stop paying attention to things like whether your underwear matches your socks, or whether your hair is parted cute and not fugly. Tom doesn't have his wardrobe programmed into his computer or videos of himself modelling all his clothes posted on YouTube. Jensen does. Jensen's videos get a lot of hits. He's not sure if that's because there are a lot of old pervs on the internet or because he's just really smoking hot. Either way, people like watching Jensen model clothes. It's pretty much a win-win. Jensen's dad appreciates how cute he looks. Not like in a gross, incesty way, but in a, wow, I'm sure that took some effort, sort of way. Jeffrey Dean has a general sort of appreciation for hard work, especially if it involves people taking notice and paying attention. He's all about work ethic, and negotiating, and getting people to do what he wants, while making them think they're doing what they want. Obviously, he and Jensen connect on a lot of levels. Jensen's dad is a lawyer, one of the best. He wears nice suits, and Jensen makes sure he eats right so he can continue to fit into them. Jeff bitches about the protein shakes and the lectures about vitamins, but deep down, Jensen knows his dad understands the importance of a healthy diet. And Jeff is totally lenient about letting Jensen stay out late and using the black Amex, and really, what more could a boy want? It's not like what Jensen had with his mum, but every boy has a special relationship with his mother. They read some Greek play about it last year in English class, but he didn't pay much attention. It was right after the Oscars, and Jensen doesn't pay much attention to anything right after the Oscars. There's so much to do, like to figure out how to duplicate Johnny Depp's hair or Brad Pitt's cufflinks, and it's this whole thing. Sometimes Tom makes him watch the actual movies that win, which is so boring, it kind of makes Jensen want to vomit just to have something to do. But Tom's a good friend, so Jensen puts up with it, even if he thinks he could do without ever seeing another movie about a retarded hustling drag queen, transgender crackhead, single mother who loves Jesus. But right, boys love their mothers. That's what he got out of that play. The play was written by sophomore or something, which was way weird, because why would anyone ever name their kid after that year in school? Everyone's all pimply then, and no one can dress. It makes Jensen sad just thinking about it. Speaking of making Jensen sad, you know who really doesn't appreciate how cute Jensen looks every morning? Jared. Jared absolutely does not appreciate it. What the hell does Jared know anyway? For a college boy, he's awfully stupid. And God, his clothes. Jensen's fingers itch every time he sees him, just having to be in the same room as all that flannel. Lately, Jared's been growing some very icky facial hair too. Jensen feels like telling him it's 2007, for God's sake, and goatees are so 10 years ago, but he doesn't think it would make any difference. Jared's hopeless. If Jensen could figure out how to make Jared abandon the pink and the poly blends, he's almost certain he could bring peace to the Middle East. Besides, Jared doesn't care what Jensen says or thinks about anything. He's made that abundantly clear. Jensen, he says one afternoon as he raids their refrigerator. Just because you're my stepbrother doesn't mean I have to pay attention to anything you say. Why are you here? Jensen asks. You don't live here anymore. Your mum isn't even married to my dad. Jared rolls his eyes. I know that, you idiot. I'm not an idiot. Just because I don't spend all my free time reading stupid shit like Nietzsche and ranting about the patriarchy doesn't make me an idiot. He lets his eyes flick over Jared's long, lanky frame. At least I can dress myself in the morning. You don't even dress yourself, Jared tossed back. You have a computer that does it for you. Computers are only as good as the people who program them, Jensen retorts. So your computer is as good as the comp sci guy you flirted with to get him to install the inane and complex program you use to indulge your superficial obsession with physical appearance? Jared asks. That's awesome, Jensen. Congratulations. Jensen pauses. His jaw aches from clenching it. He's going to get wrinkles or break out from stress, and it's going to be all Jared's fault. I hate you, he informs him. Jensen's really popular. He can't help it, he just is. People like Jensen because he dresses well and has exceptionally pretty hair and eyes and lips and just everything, really. Jensen's exceptionally pretty all around. He has green eyes, right, that are this colour not found in nature, and sometimes they change depending on what he's wearing, which Tom says is super sexy. Plus, his hair is this blondish colour. Mike calls it dirty blonde when he wants to make Jensen upset, because Jensen will insist until his dying day that nothing about him is dirty ever. And it's all spiky and a little long around the ears, and soft because Jensen believes in the power of conditioner. And his lips. God, Jensen's so grateful for his genes sometimes, he really is. Because he's got these lips that look like he had plastic surgery, but he didn't. They're just naturally that pouty and perfect and made for cocksucking. So boys fall all over him, and girls love his shoes and ask him for fashion advice, and he gets invited to all the cool parties, even college ones, where the alcohol is actually legally purchased, which is just, oh my God, so cool. But even though Jensen's really popular, he's not a bitch about it. Not at all. He and Tom both believe that when a person is popular, they need to use their powers for good and not evil. It's the right thing to do. And Jensen believes in karma. He's a little paranoid about it, but whatever. People should be good to other people. That's what Oprah says. So when Jensen gets a C in debate that he can't talk his way out of, and seriously, it's so not Jensen's fault that he's as shy as he is. He freaks in front of people, okay? And he forgets what he was going to say and starts rambling about Dolce and Gabbana. It's ugly and more than a little sad. And nobody cares how cute your shoes are when you can't remember how to pronounce the name of the country you're supposed to be talking about. He starts thinking creatively. Clearly, Mr. Kripke, his debate teacher, needs to get laid. Because when people get laid, they're just way more agreeable. And from the look of him, he hasn't been laid in a while. Possibly decades. Mr. Kripke is a serious fashion disaster of titanic proportions. He wears jeans with suit jackets. Ooh. And he's balding and a tiny bit chubby. But still, doesn't everyone deserve to be happy? Jensen thinks so. Jensen thinks everyone deserves to be happy, especially if it could potentially benefit his GPA. Tom and Jensen spend one entire lunch hour contemplating the choices of people to fix up Mr. Kripke with, so he'll stop being such a hard-grading party pooper. It's their good deed for the week. Jensen is so racking up the positive karma points. He should get an award or something. I was thinking maybe Ms. Mac, Tom suggests helpfully. She's way cute. She's way gay, Jensen says. You seriously have no gaydar, Tommy. It's sad. Wow. Is everyone in this school gay or something? Tom wonders aloud. Jensen shoots him his patented, get with the program welling look. What? She's a PE teacher. I thought PE teachers were all really straight. Male PE teachers, maybe, Jensen sighs. Tom is so dumb it hurts sometimes. It does. What about Miss Gamble? She could be totally fuckable with a little help. Her hair's all curly and shiny, Jensen suggests. Tom wrinkles his nose. I guess. If you got rid of the glasses. And those skirts. They're like floor length and made of wool or something. Gross. Did she not get the memo about us living in Southern California? You know what I say, Jensen says cheerily. I do like a challenge. Tom tilts his head to one side. You do? Daddy? Jensen shouts as he pushes open the front door of their palatial mansion, tossing his book bag onto the white leather couch and towing off his brown loafers. Have you seen my black Prada boots? There's a thump thump and a clatter, and then, oh frig, Jared appears in the doorway. He's wearing a grey hoodie and sweatpants. The sweatpants hang low on his hips, and his hair's all tousled. Jensen thinks he hears really whiny Seth Cohen type music coming from somewhere. And God, when is this boy going to learn he's not welcome here? You're not my daddy, Jensen says, annoyed. Jared's eyes flick up and down Jensen's body. Damn right I'm not. Stop perving on me, Jensen snaps. It's not cute. I'm not trying to be cute, Jared says. He shifts his weight from one foot to the other. Jensen can see a hole in one of his socks. So, how much did those pants cost? Approximately the GNP of a small African country? Jared actually looks interested. Jensen narrows his eyes. What? Do you want me to send my pants to Africa? Or are you just trying to get me to take them off? Jared sighs, running one hand through his long, dark, greasy hair. Jesus Christ, Jensen. He had facial hair, didn't he? Jensen asks. Is that why you're growing a goatee? Jensen embarks on his matchmaking plan the very next day. He's bored in bio, and seriously, that C is not going to turn into an A- all by itself. First, he writes a note to Ms. Gamble from Mr. Kripke, filled with stuff he found on Spark Notes from Shakespeare. Jensen's not sure what it means, but Ms. Gamble will totally get it. She's very smart. Jensen can tell. Only smart people wear glasses because their eyes get all tired from reading so much. And judging by the thickness of those frames, Ms. Gamble is one seriously smart chick. Meanwhile, in Mr. Kripke's class, Jensen finds a way to casually work Ms. Gamble into the conversation. They're talking about horror movies and how they symbolize, like, fear and stuff. It's Dave's topic for his end-of-term presentation, and it's beyond boring. But Jensen's ears perk up when he hears Mr. Kripke start going on and on about how horror is the most revealing genre in terms of the human psyche, and how we use it as a way to channel our anxieties into physical form. You know, Ms. Gamble was just talking about how much she loves horror movies, Jensen says. He hopes this is true. If it's not, then he hopes that Ms. Gamble's just so smitten by Mr. Kripke's letter that she doesn't care if he makes her watch Texas Chainsaw Massacre on their first date. Really? Mr. Kripke's eyebrows climb up his forehead in a way that nobody would find attractive, Jensen's fairly certain. Really, Jensen says. She's a big fan of the genre, Mr. K. You should talk to her sometime. I know she thinks you're really intelligent. She said so. Really? Mr. Kripke repeats, and Jensen can see a blush tinting his cheeks. He resists the urge to roll his eyes, because, hello, it's not Mr. Kripke's fault he's socially retarded. Jensen's pretty sure he learned that in teacher school, along with how to be incredibly boring on a daily basis, and how to dress so that none of your students get distracted with thoughts of how they want to have sex with you. At least in college, the boys are like fully grown and can form complete sentences. Jensen really likes guys who can talk about stuff. Not so much because he wants to hear what they have to say, but because he likes watching their mouths move. It makes him think of sexy things. Thinking of sexy things is always good. Jensen shifts in his seat, then crosses his ankles. When Jensen gets home from school, Jared is there again, working on some case with Jeffrey Dean. Jensen knows Jared wants to be a lawyer, but this is just ridiculous. Are there no other lawyers where Jared goes to school? Isn't he in law school? Jensen is confused. Jensen, come help me with this, his father says. He gestures for Jensen to sit down at the table and gives him a pile of papers to sort. Jensen's really good at this. He could probably be the best file clerk in the history of mankind if he wanted to. But he won't be, because he's going to be a fashion designer. He'd be totally wasted in a musty old office where nobody could see how cute his shirt looks tucked into his pants. Jared's focusing really intently on something he's reading, so much so that his forehead wrinkles a little when he concentrates, and it's kind of really, really adorable. And, oh God, Jensen did not just think that. He needs a boyfriend, and stat. He wrinkles his nose and goes back to his sorting. I'm going to get something to drink, Jared says a few minutes later. You want anything, Jensen? Jensen looks up. Jared looks all sleepy and rumpled, like a huge teddy bear. And wow, he's tall. Jensen never realized quite how tall he was. Maybe because he always got distracted by his facial hair. Anyway, I'm fine, Jensen says primly. Okay, cool, Jared says, and saunters into the kitchen. Jensen totally does not watch the way his pants hug his butt as he walks away. Several days later, it becomes clear that Jensen's plan to hook up his sex-starved teachers is beginning to work. He and Tom spy Ms. Gamble and Mr. Kripke sitting on a bench together, heads tipped towards each other, laughing and talking intently. Jensen hears something about a bloody demise and cathartic release, and wow, this is so romantic. Would you look at that body language? Jensen nudges Tom. Legs crossed towards each other, that is an unequivocal sex invite. You are so right, Tom nods. They're totally in love. They high five. Tom has a really cute watch on today. It's black and silver and matches his necklace. Jensen compliments him accordingly. Tom looks at it, then sighs dramatically. We have to go to gym, Jen. This sucks. God, I know, Jensen groans. Gym is so not worth my time. I think I burn maybe 3 calories every time I go, and that's only if I actually assert myself. On the plus side, you look really good in your sweats, Tom says. Jensen feels immediately cheered up. Tom is such a good friend, for serious. Today's gym class is an unusually eventful one, though. because halfway through, Principal Singer shows up with a new student. "Hi, boys," Principal Singer says. His eyes linger on Jensen's lips. And okay, Jensen thinks that's just wrong. He could be his grandfather or something. Jensen could have major trauma because of all this, and therapy is expensive. "This is Chad Michael Murray," Principal Singer says, and shoves Chad forward. And oh, Chad. Jensen could cry. Chad's wearing baggy homeboy jeans that nearly fall off his ass. So big on him, Jensen can see the waistband of his SpongeBob SquarePants boxers peeking through. His t-shirt is too big, but somehow only manages to reach just above his waist. It says Sean Jean in really big squiggly letters, and Chad is wearing, Jensen counts, 4 gold chains. He's also got on perfectly white sneakers and a hoop earring in one ear. And his hair is done up in cornrows. Jensen's heard of Ghetto Chic, but this is just, wow. He has no words. "Hey, bitches," Chad says. "Sup?" Tom looks a little ill. "Tommy," Jensen whispers loudly. "Oh my God, isn't he the cutest?" "If by the cutest you mean the scariest thing I've ever seen, then yes," Tom mutters. "But he's perfect. He needs us, man. He so clearly does." Jensen's practically vibrating with anticipation. He loves makeovers. Tom arches an eyebrow. "It's your funeral, dude." Jensen walks up to Chad and holds out his hand to shake. "Hi, Chad. I'm Jensen." Chad looks at Jensen, eyes widening slightly. And, okay, maybe Jensen went a little overboard on the ensemble today, but it's Jim. He has to do something to keep himself entertained. He adjusts the waistband of his striped track pants and stretches. Fitted white V-neck undershirt riding up slightly to reveal a scrap of flat stomach. Jensen doesn't do 500 crunches a day for nothing. Chad licks his lips. "Cool, yo. Are you like the welcome wagon or some shit?" "Something like that," Jensen says and grins. Jensen's week only goes uphill from there. Mr. Kripke and Ms. Gamble are totally hitting it off and probably having lots of sweating, boring teacher sex. And suddenly, debate is the easiest class ever. Everyone loves Jensen for it too, because they know he had something to do with it. He always does, because he's awesome like that. Chris Kane is all over him, which, okay, is a little gross. Because Chris may be gorgeous, but he is so not Jensen's type, what with the cowboy hats and the drawling. And he gets major high fives from Alexis and Kristen, and all of the other girls cute enough to be nearly as pretty as he is. His father is so happy with how well Jensen's been doing in school that he tells him to go out and buy himself whatever he wants as a present. Jensen's psyched, because he's had his eye on this pair of Guess jeans that cost like $1 million. They fit him so well in the store, he almost cried when he saw the price tag. They shape and caress his hips in exactly the right places. And Tom said they made his ass look good enough to eat. And really, those are exactly the type of jeans Jensen needs to be wearing for Milo's huge pool party this weekend. All conversation will stop when Jensen walks into the room. And Jensen loves when that happens. But the best part, by far, is all the progress he's already made with Chad. Jensen had his doubts, he has to admit, when he'd invited Chad to come hang with them and took him on a tour of the school grounds, pointing out all the people he should not, under any circumstances, be seen with. He was still a little afraid that Chad was a completely lost cause. One Jay-Z CD too far gone for Jensen to save him. "Those are M&Ms, Chad," Jensen had informed him, pointing to a group of guys sitting by the side of the school, all dressed in a uniform of baggy tees and baggier jeans, and glittering from their collective bling. "You don't want to end up like them. Even Eminem retired, you know, because he wasn't cool enough for MTV anymore." "Those jeans are tight," Chad had replied, and Jensen had groaned inwardly, because really, the word tight should never be used to refer to anything but the appropriate way to wear all clothing. And that's just one of the many things wrong with Chad's statement. Chad seems to really like him though, and the way he looks up to him is sort of adorable. He listens intently when Jensen talks about how it's so important to be kind to people, but not so kind that they think you like them in a sexual way. Because ultimately, high school boys are a bunch of losers who think dinner and a movie is like the greatest date ever. "So who do you date then?" Chad asks. "Middle school boys?" Jensen can't tell if Chad's kidding or not. He's got such a blank face, it's hard to tell. So he just laughs and says, "Older men are where it's at, Chad. Seriously. They're way sexier and they know what they're doing, if you know what I mean." Tom coughs and Jensen notices Mike is approaching. God, Mike. Jensen just doesn't get it. Sure, Mike is kind of attractive, but he's so Mike. He walks like a pimp all the time. Sometimes he dresses like one, and he thinks everything is hilarious, especially if it involves bodily functions. Tom could do so much better. "Woman, lend me $5, Mike shouts. "Michael, I have asked you repeatedly not to call me woman," Tom tosses back, eyes narrowing to dangerous slits. "Excuse me, Mr. Tom," Mike replies. "Thank you." "Okay, but street slang is an increasingly valid form of expression," Mike rambles on. Jensen examines his nails. "Most of the feminine pronouns do have mocking, but not necessarily misogynistic undertones." "I feel you there, brother," Chad puts in, and Mike turns to stare. "Who's this dude?" he asks. He leans over, blinking at Chad's wide assortment of jewellery. "A dig your chains, man." "Oh my God, kill me now," Tom mutters under his breath. "Aren't they the shit?" Chad asks, face lighting up. "I got them at Up Against the Wall." Jensen sighs. "Chad, please never say that again." "What? Shit?" Chad's confused. This happens, Jensen has noticed, a lot. "Don't refer to stores that you should never enter, even under pain of death," Tom says helpfully. "I think that's what Jensen means." "Exactly," Jensen says. Chad wrinkles his forehead. Wow, there's so much to learn. Jensen runs his hand through his gel-spiked hair, grinning. "That's true, sweetheart, but that's why you have us." "What the hell is that?" Jensen huffs out of breath, turning to admire the cut of the best jeans ever in the mirror. "They're jeans, Daddy." "Says who?" "Guess." "Don't get smart with me. And you're not leaving the house looking like that. Put something else on." "But Daddy, I just bought these. They're my present for all the hard work I've been doing. Please don't be unfair." Jensen might be whining. He doesn't care. Jensen's father expels a dramatic, world-weary sigh. "God, Jensen, you're as lucky I love you as much as I do." "Fine. Wear what you want, but be home by curfew. He turns to leave, then turns back. And don't do anything stupid. Yes, Daddy, Jensen murmurs and smiles wide. His father's face softens, hazel eyes crinkling at the edges. He tosses him a quick glimmer of a smile before disappearing down the hallway. He's fixing the part in his hair when he hears the telltale thump of Jared's ginormous feet tromping down the hallway. Go away, he says without turning around. There's a moment of silence. Jensen turns to see Jared standing in his doorway. He's leaning against the door jamb casually, eyebrow arched. You're quite the package, aren't you, Jensen? Jared says. His eyes are wide and blurred, pupils dark and large. Jensen rolls his eyes. No da, Jared. Way to state the obvious, stupid. What are you doing here? Run out of boring lawyer stuff to do at school? Just stopped by to drop off some files for Jeff that I've been working on, Jared says. Thought I'd say hello. Jensen notices that Jared's voice seems deeper than usual, all rough and growly, and Jensen feels his stomach tip slightly. He adjusts one of his belt loops. It's clearly the new clothes. Jensen gets a little dizzy sometimes when he wears new things. It throws off his equilibrium or something. Hello, Jensen murmurs, looking up at Jared through his eyelashes. Jared hitches in a breath. Hello, Jared mumbles, and he's staring in that way Jensen hates, a little slack-jawed and stupid-looking. But for some reason, Jensen doesn't mind at all. The party is kick-ass, just like Jensen knew it would be. Even if it does take them, like, 9 hours to get there, because Mike and Tom keep fighting over the direction. What do you mean it's not in the valley? Tom snaps. Of course it's in the valley. We never go anywhere that's not in the valley. You heard what I said, Mike retorts. It's somewhere else. I don't know. Read the fucking map. Don't you get smart with me, Michael Rosenbaum, Tom shrieks. I will kick your tiny, pale ass into next week. Just watch me. Jensen curls a strand of his hair around his finger and smothers a sigh. Sometimes he thinks he wants a boyfriend, and sometimes he doesn't. When they do finally get to the party, Chad is already there, decked out in the ensemble Jensen put together for him specially. Wow, take off the hideous b-boy clothes, and Chad is almost a Brad, which is impressive. Without the cornrows, he's got this short blonde hair that's got nice body to it, and the clothes fit him really well. The jeans actually accentuate the slim line of his hips, and the simple black t-shirt emphasizes his wide, defined shoulders. Jensen was going to make him wear a button-down, but he didn't want to get too complex. If you're starting from a blank canvas, you have to lay down a few brushstrokes first. He learned that from Monet. Chad, oh my God, you look so beautiful, Jensen says, squeezing Chad's shoulder. The shirt's kind of tight, isn't it? Chad asks. He looks seriously uncomfortable, but everyone knows you have to suffer for fashion, so... It's fine, honey, Jensen says. Just work it, you're doing fine. You do look good, Chad, Tom admits. And he shoots Jensen a look that reads, "You must be divine, because this is a fucking miracle." "Thanks, homies," Chad says, blushing, and Jensen only cringes a little. His eyes travel around the room, taking in the girls dancing on tables, beer bottles everywhere, couples wedged into every corner in various stages of undress. The music is loud and awesome. The theme of the party is the late 90s, so the DJ is playing all the fantastic boy band music that people seem too embarrassed to play nowadays. Like the turn of the century just made the whole world too cool for melodies or something. Across the room, Jensen can see Chris Kane, leaning against a wall and looking totally Heath Ledger in Brokeback. Tight jeans and a sleeveless t-shirt, and cowboy hat tipped down so Jensen can only see the end of his lit cigarette burning beneath the brim. Jensen doesn't want to dress like Chris or anything, but he has admiration for his style. It's all his own, and he doesn't give a fuck what anybody thinks. Everyone likes Chris, and Jensen's sure it has nothing to do with the fact that his dad owns a cowboy boot company and like 8 islands in the Bahamas. "Hey, who's that guy?" Chad asks, following Jensen's eyes with his own. That's when Jensen has what has got to be his 8th brilliant idea for the week. "That's Christian Kane," Jensen says. He presses a hand to the small of Chad's back, pushing him forward in Chris's direction. "Go talk to him. He'd totally love you."
"Really?"
Chad says skeptically, as Chris lifts his head and settles his eyes on the two of them. "Really?" Jensen affirms, wondering why it is everyone always seems to doubt his stellar instincts. Hasn't he proved time and time again that he's always right? "Look, he's checking you out. He probably is crushing on your jeans. You look hot, you know." Chad looks a little squeamish, but he nods. Okay, I'll go talk to him." "That's my boy," Jensen says, with a pants-dropping smile, the kind that gives him crinkles around his eyes and showcases the teeth his dad paid top dollar to make absolutely straight. Chad flushes, lowering his eyes and ambles obediently over to where Chris is standing. Jensen has very little time to exult in his own fabulousness, though, because a second later, he hears the unmistakable sound of Tom screaming over the dull roar of the party.
"Oh my God, what did you do?"
Jensen follows the hysterics to the nearest bathroom, where he finds Mike sitting on the closed toilet seat with Milo standing next to him, shaving razor in hand. Mike seems to be missing something important. Oh, right, his hair. "I'm keeping it real," Mike is saying. "I'm keeping it real, Tommy."
"Why do you care what he thinks, Mikey?" Tom says, gesturing towards Milo, who looks very proud of himself. "I'm the one that has to look at you."
Tom looks close to tears. Jensen wraps an arm around Tom's shoulders.
"Wow, this is like Katrina-level tragic. Jensen has to be supportive." "What am I going to do with you now, and right before the yearbook pictures? What am I going to tell my grandchildren? You know what? That's it."
"That's it," Mike says, flicking his wrist as if he's picking off a scab.
"You want to play games?
You want to play games?" Mike tosses back.
"Wow," Jensen thinks. "He really is 4 years old."
"I'm calling your mother," Tom threatens, brandishing his cell.
"Wait!"
That has Mike out of his seat, lunging for the phone in Tom's hand.
"Don't call my mum! Don't call my mum!"
Jensen moves aside as Tom takes off in the direction of the nearest exit, followed close behind by Mike shouting,
"You are such a bitch! God, why are you always... Baby, please! Tommy, I'll do that thing we talked about with the handcuffs and the chains, I swear. Just don't call my mum."
"So much drama," Jensen hears behind him, and turns to see Chris standing there, a lazy smile quirking up one corner of his mouth.
"Yeah, they're like their own telenovela," Jensen says.
"Seriously, soap operas have nothing on Mike and Tom." Chris just nods, eyes flickering down to focus on Jensen's lips.
"Where's Chad?" Jensen asks.
"Chad?" Chris parrots, finally lifting his eyes to meet Jensen's.
"Yeah, Chad," Jensen says.
"You know, the new kid?"
"Oh, Chad," Chris says. "He's over there talking to Steve, I think."
Sure enough, when Jensen glances where Chris is pointing, he sees Chad standing next to Steve Carlson, the two of them toking on a joint and laughing like it's going out of style.
"Are you for serious?" Jensen thinks. "Steve is so not the type of person Chad should be associating with. He's a creepy stoner musician who, like, doesn't bathe."
He sighs, then turns back to Chris, who's still watching him intently. Chris licks his lips. Jensen wonders if he should offer him lip balm.
"So Chad's really nice, right?" Jensen says.
"Sure, he's nice. He likes country music. I dig that."
"Chad likes country music?" Jensen repeats. "The things you learn about a guy."
Chris nods.
"Yeah, he said he's been more into hip-hop lately because that's where pop music is right now aesthetically. But his roots are real dirty boots and country fried. He's from North Carolina, you know."
Jensen did not know, since he never bothered to ask. Jensen believes in living in the now. The past is always filled with sucky stuff, like retainers and ugly striped shirts and, he shudders, those glasses he used to have to wear before he got contacts. But Chris and Chad are clearly bonding, and that makes Jensen so happy. He smiles at Chris and Chris smiles back, blue eyes glinting silver.
"So, do you need a ride home or something?" Chris asks. "This party is kind of lame."
Jensen has to acknowledge this is the case. His first impression was clearly mistaken. He thought that it was going to be cool, but now he can see it's just all the same people he's always known, doing the same things they always do.
"I bet Chad needs a ride," Jensen suggests.
"I've got one, but Chad doesn't even have a car. He probably took the bus or something." Chris lifts an eyebrow, like taking the bus is a concept he's not familiar with.
Well, maybe if he's going my way. But I know your house is on the way back to my place."
"We'll see," Jensen says cheerfully.
Which is how he ends up in Chris's car, alone. Which was so not part of the plan. But Chad insisted Steve would take him home, and Tom and Mike apparently took off in Mike's car to go have wild and crazy makeup butt sex. So Jensen would have been kind of stranded otherwise.
"So what do you like to do, Jenny?" Chris asks. And God, Jensen hates when people call him that. His mum gave him a boy's name for a reason. Thank you very much. Last time he checked, owning an eyelash curler does not make you a girl.
"I don't know. I like lots of stuff. Shopping, watching movies, hanging out. You know, the usual."
Chris tilts his head to one side.
"Hmm. You're in that band, right?" Jensen asks politely.
"That plays country music?"
"We're more of a country rock combo," Chris says importantly. "Outlaw country, if you will."
"Sure, whatever," Jensen says. "Chad would love to hear you play, I'm sure." Jensen pauses, waiting for Chris to respond. Chris curls his lip slightly.
"You know, because he's all about the country music."
Chris turns to look at Jensen, catching and holding his gaze. "How about you, Jensen?" Chris says. His voice has gone all deep and throaty, like he's got a cold or something.
"Would you like to see me play?"
"What?"
Jensen doesn't know what's going on. Everyone knows Jensen's much more of a Backstreet Boys person. And didn't he specifically say that Chad would like to?
Chris swings the steering wheel to one side, pulling them into a gas station.
"Are we low on gas?" Jensen asks.
"Jensen,"
Chris says, voice low and hot. Jensen, I want you to suck me off. Jensen's stomach roils. He feels like he wants to vomit.
Excuse me?
He squeaks. I said, Chris begins again. I want you to...
I heard what you said, fuckface,
Jensen hisses. I wanted to know if you're off your meds or something. Chris leans forward, hand coming to rest on Jensen's thigh. He smells like beer and cigarettes and sweat, which is not as sexy as people who write romance novels would have you believe. Jensen, he murmurs.
Get off me,
Jensen says loudly. What are you doing?
Come on, I know you want it,
Chris mutters, breathing against Jensen's neck. You and your dirty lips and slutty jeans, walking around like you don't know everybody who sees you wants to fuck your tight ass.
Oh, Chris, gross,
Jensen says and shoves him hard. Chris falls back against the seat, coordination shot to hell by the drinking, alcohol muddling his reflexes.
Let me out of the car, you asshole,
Jensen growls. Chris puts up his hands, defeated. Fine, fine. He unlocks the car doors and Jensen pushes his way out, brushing off his clothes frantically, as if he can somehow get rid of the nasty cane cooties that way.
Have it your way, bitch,
Chris slurs, and peels out of the parking lot before Jensen can say anything else.
Wait, Jensen yells. Don't leave me here.
He's greeted with stone-cold silence. Jensen feels like he wants to cry. It's past midnight on a Saturday night, and he's in some skeevy gas station parking lot in the middle of nowhere. And he can't even see the freeway from here. And this is so, so bad. He takes out his cell with shaking fingers and lifts it to his ear. Daddy, he mutters, and the phone automatically dials his father's cell.
Jensen, do you have any idea what time it is?
His father answers with nary a hello. Jensen glances at his watch. 1:30 a.m., Daddy, but I can explain. My friends ditched me, so I didn't have a ride, and...
Where are you?
His father cuts him off.
I think I'm near the valley, but I can't see the freeway, and...
Get Jared to pick you up, his father says. He's closer to the valley than we are. He's back at school. Just call his cell.
But Daddy,
Jensen starts to say, but then he hears a click right behind his ear.
Give me the phone, a scratchy female voice comes from behind him.
Jensen flips the phone closed and passes it backwards to the woman without thinking.
Get on your knees, the woman says.
But these are Guess jeans, Jensen says. I just bought them like 3 days ago and... There's another click, and then cold metal presses into Jensen's neck. He lets out a shuddering sigh.
Ugh, okay, I'm going.
He lowers himself to his knees, lifting his hands into the surrender stance.
Stay there, don't you fucking move,
the woman says. And Jensen just closes his eyes and tries to breathe. A few minutes later, he turns to see there's no one around. And suddenly everything slams into him all at once. Tom and Mike fighting like children yet again. The party sucking, and so not in the good way. Chris calling his jeans slutty. And finally being held up for his phone, which was so cute, and it was limited edition too. Now he'll never be able to get another one like it. Tears slip down his cheeks as he rises to his feet and makes his way over to the payphone.
God, Jensen thinks as he dials Jared's number. Life is so unfair.